This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
You need like a showcase platform back there. We're deck experts now. We did a deck on the shed bar. We're going to get a nice 40 by, I don't know, 15 platform right there in the middle. We could put truss up around it for lights. Run a full production for ESPN out of your backyard cornhole with a full bar ready to rock. Hire staff.
I think it's necessary at this point. I mean, it's got to be treated like a professional venue. And there are very few people in this country. Mm-hmm. At the level of craftsmanship that we are at building decks.
We built one deck. I mean, that's what we've done. What have they done?
Right.
What, more than one?
We did an add-on to a deck, meaning we built a new deck and mm-hmm. combined it with the layover over an existing deck. I mean, it's a complex operation.
That's called complexity, okay? Maybe you guys don't understand that. You guys don't get it.
We're master craftsmen, is what we're telling you.
We did a deck. We bought the joists. We leveled off boards. We dug in the mud. I threw a pair of shoes away. That's commitment. I don't throw shoes out.
Our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. We are carpenters.
I have a tool belt with tools. And also, guess what? A tool bag.
I have three levels hanging on my garage wall. Of varying lengths. I have a 4-foot level, I have a 2-foot level, and I have a very small picture frame level that's only 6 inches long.
And guess what? I'm always within reaching distance of my drill.
Mm. And it has a light on it.
Hello. What's that? That's called a tape measure right here, ready to rock, dude.
What are we talking about here?
I'm going to drill this right in your skulls.
It's a complete operation. Your drill has a light on it.
My drill, it's literally a DeWalt 20 volt max. Come on, man. This is a fucking impact.
Your drill have a light on it, people at home? I doubt it. What are you going to do in the dark? What if you find yourself in the dark and you got to drill a pilot hole for a screw? You're screwed.
Did I accidentally buy the impact drill instead of the actual drill? And now I had to order this off-market piece that fits over the impact part, that where I can put the screw in, but look how it swivels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. That's what I do, because now at least I have this one. What's it called again?
Your impact.
The impact drill. I forgot. I got the wrong drill.
All that matters is that your drill sounds like you're changing a tire on an Indy car.
Yes, and you know what? I think this one can. I think I could slap one of those lug nut joints right on there and fucking change a tire with this. Don't tell me we're not construction guys.
You're carrying it to the Indy 500 this year just in case Connor Daly's pit crew loses their impact drill.
I'm right here.
Their impact gun goes down. The DeWalt comes out.
20
Got
volt.
You back in the race, Connor Daly.
20 volts.
Let's 20 go, volts Air Force.
Of- 20 volts of maximum fucking power of my impact drill. 20 volts of impaction.
We need a professional cornhole court in the backyard. One that leaves won't get on our bags.
Yep.
If a bag doesn't hit the board.
Mm-hmm.
Which does happen. We do drink.
Listen, we got clean bags, though. It's a clean operation for clean bags, not muddy bags. And that's what we're going to do. We got to have to lay a deck down in between you, in the middle of your yard, between the shed bar and your home. And now we can use that with posts on the outside to run lights to it. Just like we did on the other part. We had that post up.
Mm-hmm.
Just running the light, a string of lights, power. Then we're ready for full broadcast, outdoor event.
We need a crane. Just like the ESPN events. We need a crane and a jib operator.
Yep.
And a guy pulling cable constantly out of the way.
One guy following the cameraman with the cable, wrapping the cable up and unwrapping the cable as the man runs around getting the top shots for the broadcast.
That job's very important because without that guy pulling cable out of the way constantly, the camera operator, from our experience, has no one to yell at.
Yeah, nobody. There's nobody to turn around and be like, what the fuck, Gary?
When you miss a shot, you don't have anybody to yell at to put the blame on.
Mm-mm.
That's a very, very well-respected position within the jib community, the pulling cable guy.
Exactly. And we're going to need people pulling cables on this professional court that we're going to build in your backyard. And we're talking about 40 feet. Listen, the boards are 27 feet from front to front. They're obviously 2x4 boards, 2 foot wide, 4 foot long. Do the math. You know what I mean? 27 plus four, you're at 31. You got to add another 4 feet for the other board. We're at 35 feet. That only gives us 2.5 feet behind our decks. Maybe we should cut it. Maybe we should do two platforms, Todd. Maybe kind of like a golf feel where you got like the sod in the middle of the two cornhole platforms.
I think maybe that's the way to do it. And then we can decide what we're going to do with the grass that's in between. Maybe we just get some fresh sod. Maybe we go artificial turf. Maybe we just bring in a bed of artificial turf.
Yep. Maybe we just roll some sod out, some artificial sod turf.
If you own an artificial turf company right now and you're interested in putting in, let's say, a 50 by 10 run in my backyard, totally leveled out.
And that's max size. It could be even smaller.
But
50 by 10.
I have a lot of amateurs out here throwing bags, though. I could use some extra space at the end of the board.
You could.
It's a little crazy out here with the comics that come through trying to throw bags.
Yeah. 50 by 30, bro.
50 by, well, you don't want to go 30 foot wide. That's
20? How about 20 foot then? 50 by 20. Got to be more than 10.
Well, 10 foot still leaves you 4 foot on each side of the board. I don't know that you need to run wind sprints on the sides of the board.
Well, you know, we could just let the sod turf man tell us what he thinks. Because what if they come in 30-foot sections? So you're like, well, roll them out. You know,
a minor league baseball team and you are experienced at laying artificial turf, then give us a call. Slide into the DMs. We are in need of a turf court. We might not even need the platforms then. We just set the boards on the artificial turf. We walk around on the artificial turf. I can break out the blower to blow leaves off of it when that's an issue and little limbs that keep falling from the fucking trees constantly. And then we're set. Listen,
that's what we need. If you don't have a blower, you'll get one.
We also need a Jumbotron. We need a Jumbotron.
Above the house.
Above the house so that viewers and neighbors in the neighborhood can watch the games live. As they're going on, because they can't see through my privacy fence.
Yeah. I mean, we want them to be involved, at least emotionally in the sport and in the game.
Yeah. We need them to feel like they're part of the experience.
I really wish we had a lawnmower. I want to go out there and cut the yard here, but they don't have them. My lady doesn't have a mower and people already cut it. You know, the team swarms in.
A service.
The fucking lawn maintenance, the lawn care company.
Mm-hmm.
But they shut down shop, this company. I went out there and peeped their operation. They got the extended bed truck with the front and the back, you know, crew cab style seating with the long bed. And then they got like a 20 foot trailer. They're rolling out a squad.
Okay, well, they're probably cutting 10 lawns a day.
Way more than that. They're doing four right, and they pop off this thing. They probably got a team rotating they probably have half because they're here for 2 days. I've seen them here for 2 days doing all the neighborhood. Wow. These guys got this fucking section locked up.
Or so some mob guy behind that for sure.
Hey, someone's got to pay. It's
that
New Jersey,
mobbed
dude.
Up. I mean, and it's
they,
not
they're
their
not
fault.
Probably part of it. They're just paying. They have to pay to be. To
yeah,
play.
They got
to
give a cut. Otherwise, you're gonna get your legs broke. You can't mow lawns with broken legs.
That's why you gotta get That's all science. The lawns. All the lawns.
You got to.
I mean, these guys just go, bro. They just break loose. You know, they probably have four teams. All right, you guys going to, 10-22, 10-24. Marcus, you two, you got 10-15 and 10-18. We'll regroup from there, come back, see you. And then, you know, that's what they're doing. They're mobilizing.
Mm. Do they charge extra if you don't pick up your dog poop? Because when I had a lawn service guy back in the day, he did. Because
really?
My fiance at the time, very, very bad at picking up her dog's poop. And we would get charged an extra $30 every time.
Just sitting, he's just sitting there mowing up dog shit.
She had, we had two big dogs.
Yeah.
And it was her job to pick up the dog poop because she's the one, it was her dogs. And she didn't like doing it. And the guy would show up, and I don't blame him. He's got to fucking dance around these giant fucking landmines.
We walk Ari mostly, so most of her shit's in bags.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when she does take a shit in the yard, I watch it and I bag it up right away.
Because you're a responsible dog owner.
And they're little turds. That's another thing. I don't need a shovel.
Right. I mean, these were, you're talking, at that time it was a giant lab mix and a Wheaton Terrier. Two good-sized dogs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good-sized turds. And she did not like picking them up or cleaning the pool. They like to have the pool, Sean.
Yeah.
Don't like to jump in and help clean it.
I'll tell you, the pool man is probably the best gift as far as $30 a month goes. Like what you get for 30 bucks a month, this dude's coming out weekly, peeping chemicals.
Only way to do it, dude. Now, I did. It was like kind of meditation for me to go out and clean mm-hmm. the pool. I kind of just liked disappearing for a little bit, putting all my thoughts yeah. into that instead of what's going on in the world, you know, and this was a long time ago, but one time I was gone, I had to go to training. So I was gone for like, I don't know, 10, 11 days, mm-hmm. came back and she had not touched the pool and it had become a pond, to be honest. The neighbor yeah. kids were fishing.
I had seen a kid on your Instagram holding up a bass. It was like
he broke
nice
a state
footer.
Record. He broke yeah. the Indiana record
for the 12 and under
on
kids
on a largemouth bass. So, I mean, good for him. But, you know, I got to turn it from not a pond into a pool.
Yep.
So that everybody can come over and enjoy themselves this summer.
Get the shock.
You got to shock the fuck out of it. You got to shock it. And you spend about $300 a week when you try to do it yourself because you don't know what you're doing and you overshock, you fucking undershock. I mean,
you know
too
what
much
I do.
Chlorine, not enough chlorine.
See, a lot of times that watercolor, it's the shit on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So one time, I don't know, did I tell you the story already on this podcast, but I needed to get my deposit back at a house in, I think it's past the statute of limitations now. I don't think I can get arrested for this or get fined.
This was a house that you were renting?
This is over 10 years ago. So
okay. Oh, yeah. You're good.
We needed that, but I let the pool go. I used to do the pool to save like $100 a month on rent. Mm. So I was like, I'll do the pool, bro. And I did it for a long time, and I did it just fine. Then I let her go there for a little while. And then it turned into a fucking black, you know, largemouth bass pond.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and my buddy was a pool guy for a year. He goes, here's what you got to do. You got to drain that thing. You got to get in there, fucking scrub the walls out real quick, you know, and then hose it out and then fucking that'll drain out. And then you got to fucking refill it up.
Nightmare operation.
I was like, all right, here we go, bro. So one night I didn't think it would be that much water, you know, I was like, it's a pool, but still compared to like a city when it rains, it's not whatever.
The fuck ton of water.
I should have did it on a day it rained because I drained out this fucking water into my alley, back alley. And the next day it looked like a flood happened in the streets.
Was this in New Orleans?
No.
Oh,
it was in California.
What if it was in New Orleans and we were to find out you or what happened?
Yeah, I broke the levees.
You broke the levees by draining your pool into an alley.
I drained that motherfucker out, bro. Scrubbed the walls, hosed her down. re-chemicaled, filled her back up, dude, and got my other 750.
Nice. Well,
and that was nice.
Pools sound good. And they're fucking awesome when you're like a brand new. Yeah. Would I want a pool? Yeah. Would I use it enough to make it worth the expense of getting a pool and the pain in the ass of upkeeping it? No way. I think it's just like a boat.
Yeah.
You know, you get a boat, you don't use it nearly enough to cover the expense. Mm. Kind of a similar operation. That's why I'm going to, if I get a pool, mm-hmm. it's going to be big enough that I can also have a boat.
I like that.
I don't, you know, instead of like getting a lakeside property, what if you just had a 3-acre pool?
Fuck it.
Your boat floated in the pool.
Like a full-on Olympic size pool?
Kind of like the size of the Olympics.
Okay. The whole grounds.
The whole Olympic Park. Like that size. And then instead of, you know, people can't fish there and whatever, yeah. It's just a giant pool.
What's the biggest pool in the world look like?
Oh, good question.
Biggest pool in the world. We're re-recording because we had a little issue yesterday.
Yeah.
So usually Jared would help us with this, but he's not here right now.
Jared's at work?
His work.
At his money
Let's
job?
See the biggest pool in the world. This pool, it looks like it's at a resort. It's out of control, bro. I mean, that's a beast right there.
It's like
that's
the size
fucking
of a
pool?
Describe it. We can't see it. Is it the size of a parking lot?
Much, much larger than a parking lot, bro. This pool goes probably 10 blocks, like past several hotels.
See, that's what I want.
We're talking not just regular hotels, like the size of MGM Grand, but like 5 of them. That, and it goes, and there's a little strip of sand between it and the ocean. And I mean little by like maybe 50 feet of sand. But it looks incredible because the ocean looks like it's about to wash into this big-ass pool called Laguna Vista. Imagine how many people pissing in that pool, bro.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I don't have a problem with pissing in a pool.
I mean, who has to keep this up? How many guys?
Oh, there's going to be a whole freaking platoon.
This one's 73,181 square feet.
That's a lot. That's a lot of thousands of square feet.
People are fucking kayaking in it.
That's got to be a saltwater pool, by the way.
Look, everybody calm down with the kayaking. It's too much exercise for your arm. It's too much work, dude. And you don't, and your shit goes left and then it goes right and then it goes left. You're just going to argue with your significant other. Stop being hardos. And you know what else can go fuck itself? Stand-up paddle boards can fuck right off, Todd.
Yeah. I mean, what are you trying to do here? Stand up paddleboard. What are we natives?
Yeah. I mean, listen,
what are we, early explorers trying to turn it to cross the Mississippi? Am I running an old timey old West ferry?
You guys fucking heading down the Nile for some, pick up some goods.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Just fucking sit in a boat that's got a motor and relax. That's what boats are supposed to be. Relaxation. I see people going fishing on kayaks. Why in the fuck would I want to exhaust myself?
Get a boat.
Why I'm just going to be relaxing, casting out a line, and hopefully catch a fish every half hour.
Get a boat, dude. If that's what you want to do, get you a little boat.
Boats have fucking motors, you know?
And you just go like this, like you're starting up a lawnmower, and guess what? You're coasting. You're floating, friends.
I don't understand rowing as a sport.
Any of that shit, man. Like, what are we talking about here?
Why?
If you want to be a college athlete, you know, you want to row your boat. I see them doing, it's like a big deal. In one movie, they make fun of it. But you're on the row, you're a rower or whatever. But I get it for the exercise and the camaraderie of being in college. But when you can, like, the kayaking, I just want to bitch slap people. Like, put me in a little boat that does itself and let me just ride along, man.
The rowing teams, of course, they're always rich kids. Yeah, you can't not be rich.
And, they can't. They know rain rowing boats
rowing
in the team in average neighborhoods.
And all they're doing is throwing back to a time where that was a peasant's job. You had to be if you were a rower on the boat, you were a peasant. Like if you were on the Viking ship and you were rowing, you weren't of importance. Like, that's a shit job. That's for fucking the poors. And now they're just saying, you know what? We kind of feel bad. We have this rich guilt, this rich white guilt. So we're going to make a sport and celebrate the art of rowing because we that's what we used to make our slaves do.
Yeah. And now we're doing it for exercise, for sport. I watched a movie the other day. It was just they had everybody down there rowing. And I was like, damn, man. It was like an Egyptian one, too, because it was like a lot of, like, it was like tan people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rowing, bro. People were just going down and just getting beat up and then making the row again or just drag them off. Like, because they were completely just dead to the world, even though their heart was beating. They couldn't move an inch. They couldn't move. They rowed and rowed and rowed and rowed, bro.
I get it. Before the Industrial Revolution, if you wanted the boat, you had to row. If you wanted it to move. But now we have engines and motors and gasoline and oil. Like we can make the boats move without having to primitively stick a fucking piece of wood in there and move it back and forth.
I need a challenge. I need you to make, listen, it's nice out. I'm feeling lighter on my feet. I'm ready to start running.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to I think I might take a boxing class. Now it's not like a boxing training like I did in Indy at IBG.
Yeah, it's a fitness boxing class.
Yeah, it's I did those there too. A title. This one's called Hooked.
Mm-hmm.
It's $220 a month though, so you can't just fuck around and not go.
Mm. That's a lot. Yeah,
you got to go 4 times a week. You got to be going 4 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, unless you're out of town, then you just piggyback the early days.
Yeah, that's like jiu-jitsu prices.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you signed a 6-month deal, it's 180, but come on, if I'm iffy about 220, I sure ain't cutting you a check for 8 bills there, Hooked.
Do you feel like you need the class or you won't do it? Like if you just do the workout at home, you won't do it by yourself?
Yeah, nah, I won't.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
And that those classes are so different. Like the guy yelling, he don't care. He's on the mic, All right, here we go. Left hook, right hook. All right, down the middle. Okay. The bell rings.
Well, the thing about working out in a group is you're ashamed if you let up because people can see you being a wuss,
Pussy.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So if I'm at home, then I do something till I get tired and then I stop.
Yeah.
I don't push it
past the point of being tired. No, that's why it's like being on a team or something. All of a sudden, you're back in sports. Mm-hmm. You can't stop or not do what everybody else is doing or you're the biggest bitch in the air. Like, dude, you're going to fuck this up for us.
Yeah.
Like, because the whole team has to pay.
Yeah, I work out until I start to sweat and I'm like, wait, I feel some sweat and I stop. I'm I was going too hard there.
Going a little hard.
What was I doing?
We got to shovel your rocks. We got more rocks to shovel. We should redo a layer of rocks around your bar.
It's getting thin.
We're probably going to have to filter out the rocks somehow because it's probably just a bunch of shit in them.
It's a bunch of leaves, a bunch of limbs.
We're going to have to put something on top of like a strainer style thing on top of your wheelbarrow. Shovel rocks on top, hose them down, get all the shit to fall through, and then put the rocks out.
Maybe we'll just dump them in the wheelbarrow and then use the blower to blow the leaves out.
Maybe we'll do that. We're just these the kind of guys we are. We have drills. We have toolboxes. We have tool belts.
We have wheelbarrows.
We have a wheelbarrow. We have you have dolly seahorses.
Mm.
I don't know where I put the word dolly in.
Or saw horses.
Yeah, the saw
horses. But we do also have seahorses in a tank.
Yes. Saltwater fish, whole wall.
If you don't have that, then be envious.
Mothers bring their little kids by Todd's house on walks on the strollers to see the wall of saltwater fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the front of his house.
That's right now, the rocks have been useful because they serve as a barricade between the end of my driveway and my garage because your moms keep trying to drive up into this place.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? Strollers don't do well on rocks.
Mm-mm. It stops them right there. They're stuck. Now you just hang out in the driveway for a while. You're not getting in here.
No, it's like a fortress. It's like a moat, but opposite.
Mm-hmm. I like moms where their kids are old enough to walk on their own.
So, or maybe come pick us up from the bar because we've been drinking too much.
Yeah. You want to come be a DD? All right.
You're 17. You're 19. Hey, me and your mom be drinking. Come pick us up. 12:30, maybe 11. We don't go that hard no more.
Keep the car seat on one side of the back seat. There's two of us. One in the front, one in the back.
You know what? Actually, put the car seat in the trunk.
Yeah, just put it in the trunk. Put your kid in it. Put it in the trunk. Strap it down. Get some straps.
Put an iPad in there. They'll never know the difference.
No.
If you drill holes in the trunk, if you drill holes so there's plenty of ventilation for breathing, and you give them a little lamp in there, you can put a pop-up lamp. You fasten the child in the trunk, but you give him an iPad. Is that okay?
I think so. Why not? It's just as safe in the trunk as he is the back seat.
Sufficient ventilation. There's lights in there. And he's back there in the trunk, but he's in his car seat strapped down. Is that okay?
I don't see how you could get ticketed for it. Put a, you know, as long as you can strap that car seat down to something, just put some mounts in there so you can run that belt around it, secure it. I mean, I think this is the future of transporting your kids back and forth. You don't want to fucking hear them whining, like crying like they do in the back seat all the time. Just put them in the trunk. You don't have to listen to it.
It's ventilated. It's lit up. It's got an iPad.
You can put one of those little carousel thingies that you put above a crib in there. You just wind it up before you leave, and it just goes around and plays music, and they can watch the little freaking balls that are hanging from it, you know?
Right down the trunk door. The trunk door is dangling. Guess what then? Now it's a clubhouse, no longer a trunk. That's what they're going to end up calling it. So a little clubhouse. You know what? Let's put you in your clubhouse. We're going to the store. And you put the kid in the trunk.
There you go.
But again, it's properly ventilated. Scott, it's well lit with an iPad.
Maybe run some hose from your air conditioning vent to there so they get some cool air as well.
Yeah. Those back vents. Get a hose and just point it down in there. So there's, you know, again, though, it's well regulated. The air, there's plenty of ventilation back there. We got, I think we're also going to use the wind, you know, the wind on our side with the slits on the side of the trunk so that you get that air in there and they're properly ventilated.
You know what would be fun to do? I think somebody actually has a bit about this, but I can't think of who. But it's popped in my head. Like if you see someone, a mom, one of those moms that does leave their kid in a car during the summer when they go inside real quick and come out, if you could like jimmy that door open, pop the lock with the Slim Jim or something, take the baby out of the car seat and just put like a freshly cooked ham there in its place.
Yeah.
So she comes back. What did I do?
Is that a smoked ham or is that Bobby? Hey, lady, just kidding. Here's your son. Don't leave him in the fucking car no more. You could even put the same little hat on the pump on the ham.
Yeah, just put the baby's clothes on the ham.
Yeah.
Put it back in there.
Like rip the, like there's probably another change of clothes in the car. Usually they have a couple of changes. Change the baby into another outfit and then kind of rip that one up like down the sides and shit and put it around the ham.
Use some sausages.
Like you gotta get puffed up.
Use some sausages for the arms and legs.
Yes.
To put in the onesie. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think it's a good idea.
Teach some moms some lessons.
Yeah. And you know what? We can do it fully professional. You can have a child care specialist on scene. This, you know, it's like a SWAT, you know, like a SWAT team van, like a bread truck style company vehicle that rolls up. You know, we got a locksmith on deck. We have a child care professional on deck. And we have a grip person to just take care of everything. You know, gets the ham ready, drives the truck, things like that. Rolls up. Locksmith pops out. Open. Jimmies are open. Child care steps in, gets the baby, goes back, make sure the baby's okay. Maybe gets him a bottle, some milk or some juice, maybe some apple juice. It's probably the best juice as a kid. And then you're going to switch the clothes out. Maybe we'll have baby clothes in the car just so that make sure that we can execute this properly.
Stop by the Baby Gap on the way.
Yeah. Do a deal with. Just get a bunch of baby clothes off Facebook Marketplace to choose from. All sizes needed.
Here's an idea
because
for you.
Moms are leaving all the different kids in the cars.
Here's an idea for you. How about a food truck for babies? Nobody's done that yet.
Baby food truck.
You just stop by a park where a lot of moms are walking around with strollers. You pull up your little food truck, applesauce and Cheerios. Very
pirate
low cost.
Booty. Pirate booty. Cottage cheese. Like the good, snacks also.
Yeah.
Fish. Goldfish.
They like the goldfish. They like regular Cheerios that aren't flavored. Because, again, they're dumb. They don't know. They don't know that that's not good.
They're kids. But I think this lady, you know, getting caught with this truck that we have, this switch your ham out for the baby sitting in the car team is nice. I like this idea.
Well, I think it would put a stop to moms leaving kids in the car. Same thing with your dogs. You leave your dog in the car like that. You don't crack a window. It's the middle of summer. I'm going to go in there.
Drop a deer body.
I'm going to replace your dog with
smoked deer.
I was going to say a smoked hog, but fuck it. Deer.
Hogs too.
Deer are overpopulated. I'd rather use deer. I'm going to just fucking roast a full corpse, a full deer corpse, and just lay it in there.
Two truck operation. The second truck's in charge of smoking meats.
Mm.
I watched an episode of No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. I've been catching episodes lately.
Uh huh.
There's an episode. He goes to his village. I forgot what the hell town it was in, bro. I'll remember probably in 10 minutes. And they have this hog they've been raising. They don't eat much hog.
Right.
And they've been raising him and raising him. He's big and he's huge. Like, we're talking fucking a few hundred pound hog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the whole village won't really eat no meat. And then they have a prayer for the hog of a big town's like vigil.
A vigil?
Yeah. They pray. They have this prayer and they all give thanks to the hog and everything. And they let Anthony Bourdain do it. And he walks up with his gun and just pop, pop, two to his skull. He show the whole thing.
I mean, that's what you do.
And then they
can't cook them while they're living.
No. And then they take the hog, put it on a table, and there's a specialist for everything. First, they get all the glands out. They get all of the blood. They drain out all the blood into a bucket because they use every drop and every physical piece of this animal. And they break off into groups, like 8-10 groups. The people, the guys making the blood stuff, the dude on with the tongue on the heart and the lungs, the guy on the back, the dude with, you know, the regular pork that we don't normally just buy. I mean, full butcher shop mode. This place goes off, and it's like a festival. They start drinking in the morning and they do it, and they cook it all day, and then they cook all day. One guy's in charge of deep frying the fucking cracklings, you know? And then at night, they just start going to work and just eating everything, dude. And it's
they
like a big
100% of the pig.
Everything. And then they even have like a scrub party. So like after they kill it and get the blood out of them and get the main organs out, they slide it all the way into like boiling hot water. And that's obviously for the skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pull it out and they have like a scrub, like 10 people scrub off all of the fur and everything. Like, it was a wild episode, dude.
Here's my thing. I don't care that you're going to use 100% of the pig, but you're going to take the snout, the tongue, the ears, mm-hmm. the butthole, whatever, put it all together in a pot, grind it up and make some bologna. I don't want to be like served ears.
Well, that's what they're doing, bro. And then their culture, they're eating it.
It's primitive. That's primitive. Make bologna and hot dogs out of it.
They got pig feet and pickle jars in the South.
I know. It's primitive. That's what's wrong.
Do they eat the? Are they? Does the hoof soften up, or they get rid of the hoof?
I don't know. I don't know what part of the feet they use. I assume there's meat inside of the hoof, and the hoof just surrounds.
Oh,
whatever
you think
meat's
meat
left on that bone?
Do you think there's meat in the hoof?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just, I don't think all the meat and muscle and all that shit's on top of the hoof.
So
I think
like a bone,
it actually goes down in there. So it's like the hoof is like a shoe.
Like a bone marrow
foot's
thing?
In there. I think there's meat. I mean, you look at your
meat.
Look at your foot and imagine that just the exterior of your foot is real
hard.
It was
a hoof. Yeah, like a hoof.
I mean, the socket and ball still got to go in there.
It is always funny when you call someone's foot a hoof. You ever get somebody else? Dude, look at this hoof. Like, say you got a hoof or two, they got their hoofs.
Mm-hmm.
It always works somehow. But you got to say it's smooth enough. But like, look at it's a fucking hoof, bro. You know, when you
got some hoofs on you.
Yeah, a couple of hoofs.
My grandpa
hooves,
used to say
hoofs,
that.
Hooves.
My grandpa used to always say that. You got some hoofs on you.
What's that mean? You allow you pop in the ground.
You got some big feet.
Oh, some big ass hoofs.
Mm-hmm. And but, I mean,
you know, they did it. That's what they
my
did.
My grandpa only hung out with pigs, though.
It was, yeah, fat ass pigs.
Mm-hmm.
This the guy, the blood guy, was like, he takes part of the blood and he boils it with some other stuff.
They make blood pudding?
No, it's like a soup.
Yeah.
It boils all day, bro. All day, all day.
The red hillbillies make blood pudding. And I don't know what all goes in it, but it's fucking gross.
All right, I got to tell you exactly where this happened. It could have been in a... They might have done this in fucking... They went down to the Cajun Bayou, bro. And they basically did... He covers two parts of town. Basically, the white part of the white, you know, French, you know, Canadian-style Cajuns that have been there, you know, for 100 years or whatever. And they're now just...
Boudreaux.
Yeah, and then they cover the black community also, like black Cajun. And it's a great episode.
We like to cook up a little alligator, like the ones that talk like that.
Yep, Anthony Bourdain.
It was a
no
gator.
Reservations.
You got to take the gator and you cut the tail off the gator and you cut the feet off of the gator.
Cajun. That was actually Cajun Company. Mm. Cajun Country, sorry, company. That's where he did it. He kills the pig. And then the next episode was where they do a goat, bro, and like it was in a different country. And my lady sits down to watch like TV with me, and it was right when they cut the goat's neck, and she just got up and left. She's like, I'll see you later.
She's not into seeing goats getting slaughtered. That's
she's
weird.
Very weird with meat. Yeah, she's also very weird with meat. She don't want chicken. It's like she basically has to cook the grilled chicken herself. Yeah. She don't eat no chicken at restaurants.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen like Marnie, she didn't like steak. She loved a hamburger. For some reason, didn't like steak, which I always thought was weird. But
yeah, that is, well, you know, I think it's a matter of visuals. A lot of people I know, mostly women that I've seen here do this, they don't eat the bone. Like my lady and her daughter, they don't sit around and just pick off rotisserie chicken and shit. They don't eat the bone. If I make grilled chicken legs, they don't eat that.
It's because they can see the little purple stuff, you know. Same way with people that don't like steaks. Usually, it has to do with the juice you can see coming from it that resembles kind of blood.
Mm, yep.
So
it's a weird thing. A lot of people don't do it. That's
I love that. I just want it floating in it. I mean, that's where the flavor is.
I made steaks last night in the grill. I made two New York strips and a couple of fillets. And my lady likes it much more cooked than I, with myself and her son Colin. Mm-hmm. So when I'm cutting it up on the cutting board, you know, after it's rested, we got a little puddle of blood going on, you know.
Yeah, supposed
so
to.
I soak it up quick with the paper towels so she doesn't have to look at that.
So she likes it done well enough, like in a restaurant or something.
Minimum.
There's no juice coming out of it at all.
Yeah, she's gotten to the point where she's like, fuck, medium well because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm just like, you can't do that.
You're killing.
We're in
that
public.
Steak. That's jerky.
You just ordered,
bring a bag of Long Beach Jerky Company jerky.
Yeah, but she just doesn't want that anything to do with the blood or anything. So, but at least she's adjusted to medium well from well done. Like, because whatever she does, it's like a fillet.
That's an upgrade. I mean, and plus, I mean, just hey, you got
that's a rough one.
You got to keep your lady happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you guys aren't keeping your lady happy at home right now, then I got something for you. How about you try a little Blue Chew?
That's what you want.
Listen, it doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to have ED. Like, if you just need a little extra confidence in the bedroom, you want to perform at a different level. Listen, back in the day when softball was really, really cool, we had a thing called a double wall bat. That was a thin double wall layer of metal inside that bat with compressed air in between. And the balls launched off these bats. Dudes weighing 150 pounds were hitting two home runs a game. You had to try to keep the ball in the park. These bats were so hot. So why not take this philosophy to the bedroom? If you can be swinging a double wall, brand new DeMarini right out of Dick's Sporting Goods, right off the rack, why wouldn't you do that?
You owe it to yourself. Why hit one home run? Why hit only a triple when you can go yard two and three times? It's been a tough year. I feel like, Todd, I feel like I've aged 12 years in the last 12 months.
I think we all have. It's been a rough one.
You've gotten a little lazy, but it's time to snap out of it. It's time to get sprung with Blue Chew, guys. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. And that's what we're talking about.
Save money, get better boners. I don't know. Like, that's right now. I would sign up for anything right now if you were going to be like, hey, would you like to have better boners and save money? Yes.
That's exactly what this does. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, okay? Erectile dysfunction does not need to touch you or come around you. And that's what we got your back, and that's what Blue Chew is. It's an online prescription service, so you don't have to visit no doctors. You don't have to feel all awkward about it, telling him about your soft penis. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy, so they all know that you got a little problem downtown. It ships right to your door in a discreet package.
It's a simple process, guys. All you got to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, like Sean said, it's all done online. Nobody knows but you. There's a licensed medical provider working with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. And if you don't like swallowing pills, no problem. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Just crunch them up and they're tasty. I use this product.
Yeah, you do.
I don't have ED, but you know what?
You don't.
If I'm going up to the plate, I'm going up there with the brand new double wall DeMarini.
You might as well go yard, Todd.
I'm going yard every time.
You know what I mean? And the best part is these tablets are made in the USA. They prepare and ship direct. It's cheaper than a pharmacy. You know, like, that's what we want here.
If you guys can benefit from a little extra confidence when it's time to perform in the bedroom, then visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we got a special deal for all our listeners. Let them know what it is, Sean.
And you can try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code GUNSBLAZIN. That's GUNSBLAZIN at checkout. That's all you got to do. Just go to BlueChew.com, promo code GUNSBLAZIN, and you receive your first month free. You can't lose here. And you know what? We have to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast, because this is a hot deal right now. You have nothing to lose, folks. You pay $5 for shipping, okay?
And they're making your life better. Hey, make your lady happy. My lady right now, she can't keep the grin off her face. She's just stuck there. She looks like the Joker.
I saw her bump into a wall the other day and didn't even care. She just kept on walking.
She's so giddy. She can't even think right. Treat your lady. She's special.
Todd right now, look at him walking around with pep, extra pep in his step. He's combed his hair this morning. This kid is ready to rock and roll. Thank you, Blue Chew, for that. Do it now.
Man, I'm feeling good. Did I tell you, I ordered a 15-inch, or sorry, not 15-inch. I was talking about my penis there. I ordered a 15-foot inflatable screen for the backyard for my new projector that my lady got.
Just setting the backyard off. Indiana summertime is going to be the top. I mean, you might have to open up an actual facility. Get some ushers there, a bar back, a bartender, a couple of servers. You know, maybe get some old people to volunteer, and they sit in the chairs where they're, you know, they kind of usher in. You're going to need a full-time cop out front that you paid off duty.
Yeah, I got to. One, you know, sits in his car and watches Netflix on his issued laptop there. And I'm going full concession stand with the bar. I've ordered two popcorn machines. And listen, I will butter it for you. Mm-hmm. I don't trust you to butter your own popcorn because you're going to drown it. I know how you are. And then you're gonna be pissed at yourself when you get halfway down the bucket because it's nothing but just a soupy mess, a soggy-ass mess.
Yeah.
Let me butter it for you. I'll do it perfectly. I'll do your salt, too, because you're going to oversalt it because you don't know the technique. You just shake a little bit, and you take and shake the bucket. You shake it, let it settle down in there, and then you do another little coat, and then you shake it again. You do that three times, you're perfectly salted.
And that's how it's done. I mean, you don't have to worry about that. You're gonna go to the Shed Bar Snack Bar, and Todd's gonna be there and take care of you when you sit down to watch his 200-foot blow up screen that he's about to have in his backyard.
I'm gonna have to order all the fights now. You can't have that and then not order the fights.
With a screen that big, people are gonna be able to see from their house. You're gonna have to put up a wall, maybe like a black curtain above your house, like a 30 to 40-foot black curtain that goes up, like a stanchion, like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because people are going, what's going to happen is people are going to start building rooftop decks on the roof of my neighborhood so that you can go up there and just look over my privacy fence and see it, you know, because it's going to be, the screen's taller than my house. I mean.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? That's just not how, this is going to be like Dodger Stadium at your house. You used to be able to pull up on that mountain on the side and just watch the game. Mm-hmm. Like Colorado, that's what it's going to be like in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's going to be popping off.
And that just can't happen. And it's not going to happen because we're going to take proper precautions, in order to make sure that this is a functioning operation out of your backyard.
And the sound system that I have planned for this thing. Here's what I'm doing. And this is innovative. I'm not going to go to Best Buy and get all the theater sound equipment and all that stuff. I'm not doing what everybody else does to jazz up their sound experience. I'm going authentic. I'm going real. I'm going to actually hire the actors from the movie that we're watching to come there and speak on microphones and pump that sound out. So they're going to be speaking live as if, you know, but in sync with the movie. And that's what you're going to be listening to. You're going to hear real
play,
people.
A play doing the movie.
Yeah. Audibly.
Also filmed, put on the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm. You won't see them. They'll be behind a curtain. But you'll be hearing actual voices real time.
They're going to voice over their shit.
I'm not going to have that sound lost through the digital experience of playback.
Even the people over at Dolby can't fuck with that.
No. The Dolby Digital... Nah. It's good. It's good, but it's not real people talking into microphones.
Well, here's the deal. People are going to have an experience they've never seen before. You know what I mean? And you're going to have a cornhole deck.
Mm-hmm.
Bar. Big screen. I mean, it's just getting dumb here, buddy.
Wait until I get the axe throwing board set up. What the fuck? We're going to have a full fucking axe throwing competition out here.
And it's time ESPN shows up to your backyard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to want in, but they're going to have to bid for it. They're going to have to bid for it. I mean, we'll probably have DAZN's probably going to want in on that. You know, they're not near as big as ESPN, but they got that Russian billionaire money. So, I mean, it's, hey, they ice bidder.
They might want to run the Goodyear blimp. Maybe Ice Cube stops by. You know what I mean? Mount Westmore comes in. Snoop does a track. Let's take a page out of the Triller book. Let's have a movie, but... All around the movie, we'll put a music festival in. And then also a slap fight just for fun.
Mm. Slap fight. That's a great idea.
That's what they did. Snoop Dogg said, let's cut over to the slap fight after this 5-song Sweetie performance from a woman that I've never heard of. I heard a couple tracks, but I didn't know we were going to have to sit through 5 actual live performance songs and then go to a slap fight.
Those slap fights are hilarious.
Guy got knocked out cold. He took one right to the jaw and went down.
That's what always happens. They're so lopsided, these matchups in the slap fights. Like you can see, there's one guy who obviously is all steroided out. He's been on HGH. He can lift a house.
Yeah.
And then there's this other dude that looks like he just should probably be bowling instead of slap fighting.
Yeah.
And he gets knocked the fuck out. It's never like two dudes that look the same.
No. And you know what's funny? The one that they had on the Triller, on the Ben, you know, the Jake Paul fight. That the one guy slapped the fuck out of this other guy, and the guy laughed at him. And that's when you knew he was like, oh, man, I just slapped this guy as hard as I can, and he laughed. Like, I can't win this fight.
No.
That's the thing. There's no comeback.
Because
then the other guy fucking hauled off and let this dude have a couple of shots before he brought down the hammer on the third shot, and homeboy fucking went down like he got hit by a ton of bricks.
He's like Kimbo Slice. Those videos of Kimbo Slice just fucking standing there and grinning and letting the guy punch him in the face. What do you do then? I mean, just shit yourself and run in the other direction as fast as you can. You're about to get killed. There's nothing you can do to hurt that guy. That's why he just showed you.
Hey, and shout out Willie Colon for that blog he wrote about almost fighting Kimbo's. Well, about, you know, keep on bumping in and getting threatened by Kimbo in a club in L.A. That was a nice blog by Willie Colon the other day.
Yeah.
Again,
you think it's real.
Oh, yeah, it was real. Oh, nice. Willie Colon got no reason to make some bullshit up like that.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll put a little boxing ring in the back. Like, listen, again, we're not going to pigeonhole this operation. We see that this company just raised $75 million on a music festival with a couple of fights in between. Online with a slap fight. They filmed fucking one of the fights for 40 seconds of the round. They just filmed Pete Davidson and Mario Lopez talk off camera. You couldn't even hear Pete Davidson, and Mario Lopez was turned around talking to him as he just came to say hello to the booth.
What if we did our own little spin on slap fights and you get slapped with titties instead of a hand?
Oh, so chicks or dudes with monster ass titties, obviously, we want to discriminate.
Yeah. I don't know if they can get your titty to slap the other person. If you don't have enough titty to slap the other person, you're not a slap titty fighter.
This game ain't for you.
No.
So you're saying get the face down to titty level.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I don't know if you could get the centrifugal force needed through the hips and then get the titties to knock somebody out, because you have to have a strong chance of someone going down.
Well, I've seen a guy get knocked out of his chair with a titty.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, did the girl, like,
in Atlanta, Georgia,
she whipping around?
She had giant titties that had a lot of elasticity to them. She could almost hold them like a billy club.
Oh,
and
wow.
She could turn her hips and swing those, and she knocked a dude out of her chair. It was like getting hit with a giant freaking, you know, sausage, like a Pepperidge Farm sausage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just whack right out of his chair.
That's almost like a nightstick.
It was at a strip club, and she was a professional, granted.
The visual of grabbing a titty like a nightstick, Tal, like you said, there was a billy club is quite interesting little
she
visual.
Would swing it like the airplane move.
Yeah,
you know, like the propeller.
Like a nunchuck almost.
Oh yeah, like a nunchuck, and then whack! I mean, she knew what she was doing.
Technically, if you do that with both your titties, that is a set of titty nunchucks.
It is. You get
because
them both
you
going.
Could do. You have the same capabilities to, you know, that you basically have with the nunchuck. I mean, you only got the one chuck that's flying around. That's the end of the titty.
It's a deadly weapon. I mean, that lady right there could beat the fuck out of you with her titties.
If I'm a transsexual and I don't have real titties yet, I'm still saving up for the surgery. I might have to. What about, because a lot of people, you know, they like try to attack them at bars and stuff after the bar closes. What about if you have these titties, but then they're just actually a weapon? When you take off your top, then these balls dangle out, and now you have handles up close, and you can, you know, you could do work on people and who try to attack you.
I love it. I mean, I would almost now just get those titties. Just so I could have them for self-defense.
Yeah, because people think they're titties.
Mm-hmm.
But then guess what? Unzip, you know, front clip bra, bang. Now you got these two balls on a chain with handles.
You know what else I would do is I would have them, since I'm getting fake titties put on that are like that, I'm going to have them put bars of soap at the end. So it's just like the bar of soap in a
code
sock.
Code red. It's a code red.
It's a code red with my titties.
Yeah, code red, titty code red.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah. Again, I'll give you a little blanket party with my titties.
Yeah, how about this? Maybe next time you'll shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get an invite to that blanket party. You don't want to ever have me the guy that's on the have a surprise blanket party.
I almost gave a blanket party.
Really?
When I was in the Marine Corps in a boot camp. We had 1 week where they put you on work detail. It's supposed to keep you from going private pile, just keep your sanity, right?
Yeah.
So you ship off to we had to move locations for a week. So we're on work party. Me and this other guy, who was a Cajun, by the way, he was hilarious. I don't remember his name, but all we did was go to the little PX club, and in the back they had a bunch of boxes. They wanted to reorganize the storage. Didn't give us any instructions. This little Filipino lady that ran the place walked us back there, and we didn't really understand what she was saying, but she was pointing to stuff. And we're like, okay, we'll just hang back here. And we found a Coke machine back there, and we just drank Cokes all day and packs of cigarettes. We found a bunch of packs of cigarettes that somebody had hidden back there. So we just smoked and drank Coke for a week. But everybody else was on different kind of working details, or they had to work in the chow hall for a week. If you sucked, you got put in that. Oh. So anyway, there was this one guy kept fucking up. We would get in trouble constantly. He was just a fuck up. He's always doing stupid stuff. And we all hated him because, you know, we were in trouble all the time. So when we got together, a little plan, have a little blanket party, lights go down, Drill instructor goes into their hatch. My job was I took my pillowcase, took the pillow out, and then I held his feet. His head. I went across his head with that, and I held him down. Somebody else held an arm. Somebody else held an arm. Somebody else held a leg. Somebody else held a leg. And there was two guys with the bars of soap in the socks. And just when they were getting ready to go at it, man, that drill instructor's duty hatch, the door kicks open. He's like, "Not on my watch. Get in your bunks." And fucking walked up. And then afterward, the next morning, all of us that were part of the blanket party got called to the drill instructor's office. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Listen, I get it. You should fuck that dude up, but you can't do it while I'm working. Got it?" And we're like, "Got it." No problem.
Yeah, I ain't doing the paperwork, homie.
Yeah.
That's wild.
He's like, "This is a kindler, gentler Marine Corps now." I don't even know. They probably don't even have blanket parties now. I think people are pretty soft. But you need a good blanket party sometimes. You got to administer justice in your own house.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and if you just ball up your abs and take the shots, you know what I mean? Mm. Makes you a tougher person. You're not getting hit in the face or anything, you know, just getting your core. It's a core workout, really, when you look at it.
You're going to have some light bruising in your upper torso. Who gives a fuck?
Learn how to take a shot.
Yeah, toughen up.
I told my girl's son, he plays volleyball, and these balls, they're fucking coming down quick. And he just signed with a D1. He got a scholarship to D1 school to play volleyball. Mm-hmm. These balls are about to be coming at a million miles an hour. I said, "Here's what we'll do. I got some boxing gloves here. Let me just start to lightly punch you in the face right there down the pipe, you know? Mm. Start learning how to take a shot to the face, dude. It's not as bad as it seems."
Why don't you get the spinning wheel machines and just feed the ball in there like the football and just fire those at him all day?
At his face?
Yeah. Tie him to a fence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he can't move.
And yeah.
Fire freaking volleyballs like 100 mile an hour at him.
Bah, bah, I'm going to see if I can rent one of those machines. If not, I'm going to go with them. I think that the close second is just lightly socking him about 40 to 50 times, you know, just above the nose bridge area.
Mm-hmm.
To cheeks. You know what I mean? Cheek high. Because I see a few kids, bro. These kids, like my girl's son's like this. He's like the middle, like, and he's the setter, right? Which is like the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just setting up his people on the wings to fucking just come flying in and hammer it down.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these fucking dudes are taking shots in the face, bro. And it is awesome.
It's awesome.
When your team sets it up, perfect set, homeboy spikes down at the perfect angle, that 45 degree, and that homie in the middle the other time side just catches it. Because some of the kids are younger that are playing with the older kids, and you could tell, like, they're getting a shot in the scrimmage games, and they're taking shots to the face, bro.
I mean, that's your
goal. Man.
That's your goal. You want that fucking spike to run off somebody's grape into the stands. Afterwards.
Yeah, bro. That's exactly what you want.
That's way better than it just fucking hitting within the lines.
You know, it's really fun to watch. I get way into it. I mean, the other day, like, this one lady was kind of getting a little bit, like, looking over, like, lippy at us. So I'm like, "Bitch, I will beat your husband's ass. I'll go out right now at this Christian Academy and smack the fuck out of your husbands." This whole squad of husbands, I look at them, I'm like, "I can beat up all of these dudes. This other team is soft."
Nice.
But I was just like, "Please, like, don't be getting mouthy with my lady because she's cheering for her son. You want to catch a smack."
I fucking hate parents. They're the worst. Those fucking lippy parents at sporting events.
Same.
Jesus.
I'm ready now. I have to, like, you become a, like, a, you know, you have to become, like, at the Home Goods and the Home Sense stores. It's a wild west in there, bro, with the women. The women are going in there and fighting each other for the fucking couches. I had a, there's a little ring out back. You could bare knuckle box out back with the other dads and shit. The other dads.
Love it.
I'm 2-1. I'm 2-1 right now at Home Goods.
There should be a team set up at every retail establishment. Two ladies start to get into it, fighting over an item or whatever, or cart space, and they start to go at it. A bell should ring. Ding, 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 ding. "Let's get ready to rumble."
Full light.
And then everybody runs out and they glove them up. They start taping their hands.
Yeah.
And they glove them up. And then they pull up the ropes. They set up a little ring around them. But this happens fast, man. This is like 1 minute. 1 minute, we're ready to go. And then it's ding, 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 ding. "Let's get it on." And then just go at it. I think then women would be less lippy in there because, you know, if I square off, I got to fight.
Yeah, with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. You know what I mean? Like earn, you know, you see a hallway table that you got to have, and some lady just put her hands on it at the same time as you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to square off. You both want that lamp? Guess what? Let's
how
see.
How bad you want that lamp?
How bad do you want that lamp?
Bing, bing, bing. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. Well, you can opt out for the husbands. I'll get a good look at them. All right, I'll go heads up with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, a lot of the dudes that can really fuck you up, they're not really hanging out with their lady at home goods. They got more of their testosterone doesn't allow them. It's more of the guys that are just a little bit softer to their woman's needs. You know,
I
and
think
then
so.
You know, cause my lady, like, she loves to go there and she knows that I'm not the biggest fan of rolling around with 8 stores, but I'll go and I'll be cool. You know, I'll smoke a bowl, get in there and just look at stuff. I'll give her opinion, my opinion on what she thinks could possibly work at our house.
I mean, the advantage is the men's bathrooms are pristine because there's not a lot of dudes in there. So yeah. It's not getting used nearly as much as the women. I don't know what the women's bathroom looks like in there, but I tell you, you go to a Michael's, that fucking men's bathroom is spotless.
Yeah. You know, spotless. I'll tell you something else you might not know about men and women here, guys. You think that women are cleaner and they're not as disgusting as men. Go get a job as a bar back at a bar, and then especially at a college bar. And then tell me at the end of the night when you have to clean up each bathroom that that's true. Because I'm telling you, it's not. Listen, dudes will piss on the floor.
Uh-huh.
But women, I mean, we're talking another level of fucking just trashed bathrooms.
What, do they just bleed all over everything?
There's some of that going on. Mm-hmm. But then there's just like this toilet paper and just clogged toilets. Just all, everything's fucked up. At the trash can, the shit was just everywhere, not in the trash can.
Women are disgusting, dude. Take care of yourself.
At least the bars that I worked at, the ladies were definitely sloppier than the dudes when it came to being drunk bar bathroom people.
Jesus. Come on, ladies. Step it up.
Throw up, obviously more throw up.
Oh, yeah.
They can't, you know, they weigh less than us, so they throw up more. And they get a lot more free stuff than us, so they throw. You know, you also, I'm almost an advocate for ladies who throw up. Like, I apologize. I feel bad because, first of all, they don't weigh as much. They don't drink. Some of them do, but like the consistency that the men pound alcohol, women
our bodies
are just naturally
process
more,
it better. I think, yeah.
Yeah, but we're also, you know, we also weigh way more. So that's a big deal. And we eat way more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot harder for us to throw up. And then women, and then also, if you're cute, no one's buying you. I mean, how often? I mean, listen, we've gotten lucky because of, you know, working with Pat and being an indie and just, you know, getting free beers. Like, you feel like a woman, you know, you feel like a hot chick because everywhere you go, drinks are free.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's a good feeling.
When you're on top of your shit and you getting free drinks, let them flow, bro. Then you forgot you didn't eat no dinner because you came out late. You had a half-assed lunch. You only had some avocado toast. You're a buck 10. You're throwing up.
It's your diet. I think it's the diet that gets them. They tend to eat better, and that doesn't prepare you for destroying your body with alcohol. You eat too much salad. You're not gonna be able to handle it.
Yeah. Plus, you got to soak it up. Mm-hmm. It's going every last drop of the alcohol is going right into your bloodstream. It ain't going nothing going to all the steak and potatoes that you just.
Your stomach's not used to trauma either. It's just, I mean, you're babying your stomach, and now you're going to fucking throw toxic shit in there.
Yeah.
It's not ready for that.
No.
That's why I eat as unhealthy as possible. So that my stomach and body are always prepared for toxic shit to go in my system.
And you know what? That's just how it works. And all we can do is tell you guys, you know?
We're educating.
All
you.
We can do is break it down and educate you guys. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to educate you on this. This weekend, I will be in Lexington, Kentucky. If you're within a 7-hour drive, come hang out, bro. Comedy Off Broadway, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, April 22,
23, 24. Mm-hmm.
And then, Todd, we are in Vegas the following weekend at this midnight show, Thursday, April 29th. And it is at the LA Comedy Club at the Strat. So come down. If you're in Vegas, come kick it with us, dude. If you're in 5 hours.
Is the tallest point in Las Vegas. And it will also be the home of the funniest comedy show in Vegas at midnight on that date.
Oh, dude, lineup is going to be nasty, Todd.
I'll also be at Lexington. I'm going to come watch your shows. So yeah, hopefully I will see you guys there. Get your tickets now.
Todd's coming to Lexington. Come hang out with us. That's this weekend. Vegas the next weekend. In June, I got Des Moines, Iowa. We got Louisville in August. Listen, we're just trying to make some moves. You know what I mean? So
just keep checking the website. Shows posted, links on the calendar.
Tomorrow night, make sure you guys check out our YouTube. We have our snow video coming out, 73 clicks south of Indy.
At 9 p.m. It premieres at 9 p.m. And it's a Eastern. Fucking great, great video.
It's like a four-minute video, guys. We'd love for you just to come down, check it out with us. We're trying to, you know, keep on doing this active, fun shit on our Instagram, on our YouTube. So come check us out. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. And let's just keep moving.
All right, let's get out of here. Love you, man.
Love you, buddy.